भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text Number 12. Munir Vivakshur Bhagavat Guranam Sakhapite Bharata Mahakrishnaha Yasmin Nidam Gramya Sukhanu Vadai Matir Grihita Nuhare Kathayam. Word for word meanings: Munihi, the sage, Vivakshuhu, described, Bhagavat, of the personality of Godhead, Gunanam, transcendental qualities, Sakha, friend, Api, also, Te, your, Bharatam, the Mahabharata, Ah, has described, Krishnaha, Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, Yasmin, in which, Nrinam, of the people, Gramya, worldly, Sukha Anuvadai, pleasure derived from mundane topics, Matihi, attention, Grihitanu, just to draw towards, Hare, of the Lord, Kathayam, speeches of Bhagavad Gita. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. But the whole idea is to draw the attention of the mass of people to Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Purport. The great sage Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas is the author of all Vedic literature, of which his work Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata are very popular readings. As stated in Bhagavatam 1.4.25, Srila Vyasadev compiled the Mahabharata for the less intelligent class of men who take more interest in mundane topics than in the philosophy of life. The Vedanta Sutra was compiled for persons already above the mundane topics, who might already have tasted the bitterness of the so-called happiness of mundane affairs. The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is Athato Brahma Jigyasa, that is, only when one has finished the business of mundane inquiries in the marketplace of sense gratification can one make relevant inquiries regarding Brahman, the transcendence. Those persons who are busy in the mundane inquiries which fill the newspapers and other such literatures are classified as Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhus, or women, the laborer class and unworthy sons of the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya. Such less intelligent men cannot understand the purpose of Vedanta Sutra, although they may make a show of studying the sutras in a perverted way. The real purpose of Vedanta Sutra is explained by the author himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, And anyone trying to understand Vedanta Sutra without reference to Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly misguided. Such misguided persons who are interested in the mundane affairs of philanthropic and altruistic work under the misconception of the body as the self could better take advantage of the Mahabharata, which was specifically compiled by Srila Vyasadeva for their benefit. The great author has compiled the Mahabharata in such a way that the less intelligent class of men who are more interested in mundane topics may read the Mahabharata with great relish, and in the course of such mundane happiness can also take advantage of Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Vyasadeva had no interest in writing a history of mundane activities other than to give less intelligent persons a chance for transcendental realization through Bhagavad Gita. Vidura's reference to the Mahabharata indicates that he had heard the Mahabharata from Vyasadeva, his real father, while he was away from the home and was touring the places of pilgrimage. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So today's verse is very similar to yesterday's verse, and here Vidura is discussing the importance of Krishna Katha with Maitreya. So Vidura is son of Vyasadev and his mother is one of the maid servants of Pandavas or the kings of that dynasty. And then Vyasadeva was born, but he was so intelligent and devoted to Krishna, and he was acting as a guide to all the members of that dynasty. So here we see that he is glorifying the importance of Krishna Katha. So this Krishna Katha is so important that it's not a matter of thinking whether we like to hear Krishna Katha or not. It's not optional. It's mandatory for all human beings. Otherwise we are not human beings. If someone is not hearing Krishna Katha, then he is not on the human platform. That's why in yesterday's verse it said, who in the human society can be satisfied without hearing sufficient talk of the Lord? So if one is satisfied without hearing any Krishna Katha, then he is animal. Two-legged animal, Dvipada Pashu. So as practicing devotees, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day, we become purified, and then progressively we understand the importance of Krishna Katha. As we know that by hearing Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukrameshyati, so we get attached, or the devotional, real devotion develops for Lord, and we become so attached to Krishna Katha that we are always anxious to hear more about Krishna. So this is the importance. And when we become pure, we understand that this is all we need. We don't need anything else. That if we just hear about Krishna, chant Krishna's glories, chant Krishna's name, we don't need anything else. Nothing else is required. Prabhupada writes in one of his books that for doing kirtan, you need instruments, kartal, mridanga. But even if those instruments are not there, you have tongue, that's like an instrument, and you have ears. You just chant and you hear. You don't need anything else. Nothing else is required. And if someone cannot speak, he can hear. If someone cannot speak, cannot hear, he can see. So there are so many senses. You can use all the senses to satisfy Krishna in some way or the other. And the main purpose of Krishna consciousness is to think about Krishna. So when we engage our senses in Krishna consciousness, then we can eventually think about Krishna constantly. So it's very important to understand that this is all we need. We don't need anything else. And when we understand that, we'll be so happy. And a preacher of Krishna consciousness is a pure devotee. A pure devotee understands, he has so much conviction that this is all I need and this is all people need. So people are running here and there for getting so many things. So this month many devotees will go out and try to distribute them Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and other books. So the conviction of a devotee that this is all they need, they are running so fast here and there, they're going for work or their uni. But if the person who is distributing the book, he knows, he has that conviction that they only need this, then he'll be so confident that he's giving them the right thing. He won't hesitate in stopping someone. Usually book distribution is very hard because no one is interested to listen to you. And that's a big blow for our false ego. But if we have this conviction that this is what they need, so I'm doing something good for this person by stopping him and discussing about Krishna, so then it becomes very easy. And if someone doesn't stop or doesn't listen to us, then it's always their fault. It's never our fault. So we should never think that I am useless, or of course we try to improve as much as possible, but we can never be wrong in trying to give someone knowledge about Krishna. Because they don't know what they are refusing, it's their fault. They should have this knowledge. In human life, they should inquire about these higher topics. Here it says, Prabhupada writes that the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you are on the human platform, you must inquire about what is the highest goal of life. And then when you know that, it's like a great thing you have discovered. We know about the famous philosopher and scientist Archimedes. He was so happy. One time he just sat in his bathtub and he saw that water level rose up, and so he could understand, he discovered the law that you can actually find out the volume of irregular objects. And he was so happy, he ran out naked. He discovered that, and that's just a material thing. He just discovered a material law and he was so happy. So what if we discovered that this is all what we need? How happy we will be. We don't need anything else. So that's the faith which comes slowly. It increases. It will progressively increase as we perform Shravanam, Kirtanam and other activities in devotional life. So it is the word Kirtanam, or chanting the glories of Krishna or Krishna Katha, that can actually mean only describing something technically, grammatically. But it is clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj that when we say Kirtan, what does it mean? It means glorifying Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Vishnu or Krishna. So we hear about and we chant about Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And then eventually we will remember about Krishna. And that is the goal of any yoga process. So in yoga process, initially, even in Ashtanga yoga process, we try to control the senses. So yogis selects a very sacred place, a secluded place, and alone he sits down. It's mentioned in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He sits on kusha grass with a deer skin mat. The seat should neither be too low or too high. So all these considerations are there because he's trying to control his senses. And he will stop acting. He will stop his senses to engage in sense objects. And then what is the purpose of that, controlling the senses? The purpose is to meditate or fix the mind on the form of Lord within the heart. But the problem is we cannot perform that sort of meditation in this day and age. In Satya Yuga it was possible, but now we cannot, because Kali Yuga is such an age in which mode of passion and ignorance are prominent. So it's very hard to sit down quietly and try to control the senses. Senses are very agitated. And that's the nature of soul to be active. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karmakit karyate yavasha karma sarvah prakriti jair gunai. That forced by the modes we have acquired, we will act. That's the nature. That's our nature. So we cannot sit silently. Even if we try to sit silently, mind is so active that we will be pushed to engage senses in the sense objects. So we cannot control senses. So what to do? So the answer is we engage the senses in Krishna's service. And then Prabhupada writes that when senses are purified, they are automatically controlled. So this is the science. This is very simple. That when senses are purified and engaged in Krishna's consciousness, then they are automatically controlled. How is that? That now all of us, we are sitting here, we are trying to hear about Krishna. So what does that mean? We are engaging our ear in hearing about Krishna. That means we are not engaging our ear in hearing about anything else. So that's how simple it is. Because senses are engaged, so then they are automatically controlled. So that's the science. So this is a secret of Krishna consciousness. So in first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse is very important. So there it is said that all cheating religion should be rejected. Dharma projita ketavo atra parmo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayonamulanam. So when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, our desires are purified. So we have a tendency to enjoy. We do something because we want the result for ourselves, because we want sense gratification. But the real religion, the real dharma, means that we just act for Krishna's pleasure, not for our own sense gratification. Yajñātāt karmaṇo. If we do for everything for Krishna, then that is considered a sacrifice, a yajña. And then we become purified. If we do something for ourselves, we'll be bound. Yajñātāt karmaṇonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. So we will be bound in this world if we do something for our pleasure. So that's why we have to purify our desires more and more. So we have to think before doing anything, that is it for my pleasure or is it for Krishna's pleasure or devotee's pleasure or guru's pleasure. So that's what's stated here. If we are not thinking like that, then we are practicing something, that's like a cheating religion. We're cheating ourselves. Krishna knows everything. He is in the heart. He knows what he or she wants. Whether this devotee is working to please me or just wants to get something. Of course, if we do something for Krishna and in the end we want something for ourselves, we'll still be purified. But our purification will be very slow. And if we keep doing like that, it's like rowing the boat with anchor on the shore. So we won't get anywhere. And then eventually we'll make more offenses and rather we'll fall down. So if we don't make progress, that means we'll go down. We can't stay there. So all the time we need to try to improve our devotional service. And then, as we were discussing, we'll go out of this world, we'll be liberated. Tapatrayonamulanam, by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam and engaging in pure devotional service, we can actually, here it says, Tapatrayonamulam means uproot the threefold miseries. So birth, death, disease, old age, then disturbances caused by demigods, other living entities, our own body and mind. So all these miseries will go away just by practicing this simple process of devotional service. And in first canto, Arjun actually refers to Krishna as Mahabaho. And he says that by worshipping you, we can be liberated. We can go out of this material world, which is a very fearful place. But a devotee is fearless because he is worshipping Krishna. So Arjun says, Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhakta Naam Abhayankara Tvam Eko Dayamana Naam Apavargosi Sansrite. So this world, material world, is termed as Pavarga. So in Sanskrit alphabets, we have these five alphabets starting with Pa. So all these represent a feature of this material world. So from Pa means Parishram, you do hard work. To get something for your sense enjoyment, you need to work very hard. And then when you work very hard in this material world, 10-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts, then what happens is Pa. Fena, there's a foam which comes out of your mouth because you're working so hard. Then Ba. Then you're bound, Bandhan. And then Bhaya. You are in a fearful situation. If you don't get anything, you will be fearful, whether my senses will be satisfied or not. If you get something, you'll be fearful that someone may take it from me. So all the rich people are so fearful. They have security cameras and those screens in front of their house. You press the button, they want to see who's there. They have few dogs and they have so many protective layers outside their fort. So they are fearful. That shows fear. So they have so much wealth, so they are fearful. what will happen? Will the economy crash? I'll lose so much money. I've made these investments. So they are fearful. And then the greatest fear is actually they are very dissatisfied. No one loves them. Everyone wants their money. So that's pa, pa, ba, bha. And then ma, in the end, mrityu. So that's pavarga, that's this world. But Arjun says to Krishna that if we worship you, we become your devotees, then for your devotees, you give fearlessness. For a devotee, there is no fear. He is always so happy in this world because he is engaged in Krishna's service. So Krishna is so merciful that he comes, he descends to this world to show compassion on his servants, to revive their dormant Krishna consciousness. He comes again and again. And Rupa Goswami says that he addresses Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Mahavadanyaya Avta, that you are most merciful because you are giving love of Krishna. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushe Nama. So Rupa Goswami says that you are Mahavadanyaya Avta, that you are most magnanimous incarnation of Krishna. Why? Because you are giving love of Krishna freely to everyone. And that proves that you are Krishna, because only Krishna can give love of himself. No one else can give. So you are Krishna, but you have come as Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Tushe Nama. So in this incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have come as Krishna Chaitanya. And you are the incarnation of love of Godhead. And you are distributing love of God freely to everyone. So for any incarnation, usually they have two purposes, that they deliver the pious and annihilate all the demons. And of course they establish religious principles. So for Mahaprabhu's incarnation, there was no need to kill all the demons. Because Prabhupada, he says that in this age there is no need to kill the demons. They have themselves created atomic bomb and other things so that they will die very quickly. So there is no need to kill them. So what Mahaprabhu does is, he comes with his weapon of Sankirtan movement. So by that weapon, the demoniac mentality within the heart of all people is finished, is destroyed. So that's the strategy of Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopa Sangastra Pashidam Yagyai Sankirtanai Prai Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. So only the intelligent people will take up this mission. Only the fortunate and intelligent people. And Prabhupada says that if a person is intelligent, he gives example of a politician or a businessman. So they are actually always looking for an opportunity. Businessman is very smart. Wherever he sees business opportunity. We know that famous story of an Indian sadhu. He approached a family and the son said, "Oh, my father is getting old and he's still so much business minded. You please take him to place of pilgrimage." And he took him to various holy places and he was very hard-hearted. He was always seeing business everywhere he went. So he went to that one ghat at Varanasi, I think. And there he saw I forgot the name of that ghat, you know, where they burn all the dead bodies. There's a famous ghat. Anyone knows the name? Ashwamedh ghat? Okay, could be. So there's one ghat in Varanasi. It's famous for cremations and they do all the rituals. So he took him there and he saw so many people dying and he started crying. He saw dead bodies being burnt and he started crying. And the sadhu finally thought, oh, now he has got realization that about philosophy of life. And he said, I'm very happy. So what did, why are you crying? What are you feeling? So he said, oh, I'm seeing so much wood being burnt. I was doing cloth business whole life. I should have done wood business. So that's the vision of a businessman. He's always seeing opportunity, how to make money. So Prabhupada says, like that businessman, we should see opportunity, that now we have got this opportunity to get love of God. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he is giving this love of God freely. So we should take it. So Prabhupada says the businessman and politician takes the opportunity and makes success in the first possible chance that he gets. So we shouldn't wait until later. So that's the message given here. So Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata because people are interested in mundane topics. So he wrote so many stories. This is happening, so many kings are there, they fight, they have these families, wife, kids, and then their engagements, and so many mundane stories are there. But he presented Bhagavad Gita in the middle of Mahabharata. So those 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita are most important in Mahabharata. Mahabharata has thousands of verses. But Vyasadeva presented Bhagavad Gita so that people who are interested in so many thousands of other topics, Shotavyadini Rajendra Nirnam Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. Actually, people have so many topics to talk about, their whole life goes like that without hearing about Krishna. And they are busy in talking about so many other things. But this Krishna Katha is so important that we all must endeavor to help these people by sharing this Krishna Katha with them. And then in that process of sharing, we will advance as well, more and more. And there is no limit to advancement in spiritual realm. And people will be advanced. And then Krishna will be so pleased with us, because if someone carries out your mission, you will be very happy. So Krishna's mission is to reclaim all the fallen conditioned souls. So if someone takes up that mission for Krishna's sake, then Krishna is very happy. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed today. Yes, please. Yes, that's right. So many people don't understand about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation, because that was the purpose of appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is called Chhanna Avatar. He is the hidden incarnation. But still, devotees understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The third chapter of Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita is called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there, it's established how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incarnation of Krishna or Krishna himself. And in one of the purports, Prabhupada lists all the references from various Puranas, even Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse that I mentioned, Krishna Varnam, Tusha Krishnam, that appears in 11th canto. So within Srimad Bhagavatam, there is mention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation which came, who was always glorifying Krishna or always chanting the name of Krishna. So in that list, may not be mentioned, but later on it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in 11th canto. And you can read 3rd chapter of Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita to know more references. There's like close to 10 references given from various scriptures that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Actually, Varnashram cannot be fully established in Kali Yuga. It's not possible. Because if we see all the details, if you just read Bhagavad Gita, Shaurya Tejo Dhitir Daksham Yuddhe Chapya Palayanam Danam, all these things are for Kshatriya. It's not possible. Even one quality you cannot get fully. And what to speak of Brahmana. And even then who will Shudras serve if there are no higher castes? So Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone is pretty much a Shudra. So Varnashram cannot be fully established. So here in ISKCON, we are trying to establish as close as possible to the real Devi Varnashram Dharma. But ultimately our purpose is to be well established in our nature so that we can hear and chant about Krishna. That's the main nature. So Varnas, we do service according to our nature as much as possible. And then ashramas are there. So the best way to understand which ashram we belong to is, the main criteria is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Which is the ashram in which I can properly hear and chant about Krishna without my mind going everywhere? So that's the main criteria. We are not proper brahmacharis or grihasthas. They had very high standards in previous ages. But this is as close as possible to the real thing. So our purpose is not to, of course we say we are establishing Varnashram, but it's not the exact, we can't go in very too much detail in this age. So we're doing the best possible. Okay, time is up. I think I should finish. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.